One of the things on the mystery disc that's really exciting for your fans is almost 2 hours worth of deleted scenes from Wild at Heart.
Right.
I want to ask you, was that script 400 pages long when you wrote it?
It was long, but I loved finding these scenes and seeing them again after all this time. They're work print, so the picture's pretty funky, but we did brand new mixes for each scene. And I just think it's like finding gold.
Tony, let me tell you something.
You know, the really great scene with Diane Ladd and Harry Dean Stanton when they're plotting against Saylor.
Well, Saylor has served his time for what he did. And another thing, if Lula went with him of her own volition, willingly that is, then there ain't much can be done about it.
Don't talk down to me, Johnny Farragut. I know what volition means, and that is why I want Sailor Ripley off this planet. He is pure slime, and he's leaking all over my baby.
Do you remember anything about that scene?
Yes, I think it was an early scene that Harry Dean and Diane Ladd did together, and I don't think they'd been in a film together, and I don't think they hung out, but that scene, I remember Harry Dean... Something clicked, and he had a whole lot of respect for Diane Ladd after that scene.
She nails every scene she's in. She really kind of steals the show in that movie. The other scene that...
And Harry Dean, sorry.
...that I really was interested in from these deleted scenes was... it's a long sequence in which Saylor, the Nicolas Cage character, encounters these sort of musicians. He's looking for a job, and he sort of... There's this long shot of him walking from the horizon down a dirt road, and he gives this sort of monologue.
Lula, baby. Red wants me to wait a whole month. I can't hold out a whole month. I got a job, but I ain't got no job. I drive a truck, but I ain't got no truck. Lula, baby. Lula, baby.
It's a kind of a scene where Nick is running out of fuel, feeling that he's letting his girl down. So it's a real nice scene.
Throughout your career, you've worked in a lot of different mediums. You've been a painter, a photographer. You've done television, obviously, films. And also, through your website, we're really pioneering in putting up a lot of original content designed for the web. I'm interested in your sense about working in all these mediums and the way that, as everything becomes more digitized, they all seem to be converging now.
I always say that each medium speaks to us. In the world of paint, if you start painting, the medium starts talking to you. And I think action and reaction takes place. And a kind of a flow of ideas starts with that particular medium.
Well, then what happens when a work conceived in one medium then is shown in another? For instance, a film that you shoot for the theater now being on DVD or for the web on DVD?
You know, the whole thing of the theatrical experience on the big screen and big sound, that's a unique experience. And there's just nothing like it. When it goes to DVD, if it was shot on film, on celluloid, it has to be transferred to a digital format. There's, you know, a different feel, and it's a smaller image, and, you know, the sound is compromised. So it's kind of a heartache. But when you start a thing in a certain medium, then it's, like you say, built more for that. My hope, I always say this, is that people at home will have bigger and bigger screens, better and better sound, and it will be still possible to go into another world.
A couple years ago, I went and saw The New World, the Terrence Malick film, on a big,
right.
big screen in New York, a big press screening. And, you know, I liked the film. I thought it was good. And a year later, I popped the DVD into my 12-inch PowerBook with headphones on a flight to California, and I nearly wept for 3 hours. I had an extraordinary experience with this film on this tiny little screen. You know, this is a very sort of visually, you know, extravagant film, and there was something about the intimacy of holding it in my lap and having it in my headphones that really worked. So, you know, you talk about different ways to get into movies. Do you think it's necessarily dependent on size, or are there ways that one could make movies for an iPod that would be a kind of interesting engagement, a new sort of adventure?
Well, I think when you see a film with a crowd on in a theater, there's some kind of jump in intelligence. The film moves slower the more people there. And there's a kind of an embarrassment factor that people don't want to show too much. That it makes you react to a certain thing a certain way. Now, when you put on the headphones, that sound is right in your brain. And you'd seen the film before, but now you're relaxed. You're not, you know, on guard at all. It's just you and that film. You have an innocence to you. You just go. But you could have that same experience even more if you were alone with great sound and a bigger screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan, the secret for you is to see films by yourself.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I'm just a loner that way. I'm guessing you don't watch movies on an iPod.
Well, but I always say this, too. If you could pop your iPod in a box and then it would squirt that image on a wall big, that's another story.
Well, thank you, David, so much for talking to us today.
Nathan, thanks a million. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.